have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Cam video shows the deadly police shooting of a black man.
There is growing outrage tonight after an unarmed African-American was shot and killed.
Declined to bring charges against a white police officer in the death of an unarmed black man.
Something about his skin, yo. Such a beautiful struggle in every shade. Got a story that'll touch you to my kinfolk. We know the gift and the curse, and more so when we're living our worth.
Something about his skin. The melanin. Something about your skin, yo.
Can't recognize the beauty itself, and that's the reason why it's seen as a threat.
Something about your skin.
I was 6 when I didn't wanna be black no more.
That's right.
I hated the way I seen we were treated. Not only on TV, but on the daily. You wasn't born with the skin, probably wouldn't believe it.
Probably not.
Yeah. Often feeling defeated. Do well on the test, good questions on if I cheated. Teacher thinking I'm lying or guilty to something without a reason. Self-worth being depleted.
Yeah.
Like this girl in my class, got the courage to approach. Stop short the moment I heard her say. She like one of my friends, only problem is he's black. Skin got in the way, something inside me changed. Didn't want to play outside too long, afraid to drop a couple shades. Even at an early age, I started to see my friends that were darker had it harder than me.
Something about the skin, yo.
Such a beautiful struggle in every shade. Got a story that'll touch
to my kinfolk.
We know the gift and the curse, and more so when we're living our
world.
Watching the government drop bombs on Philadelphia buildings. From helicopters, firefighters watch flames and go city blocks. Black men, women, and children inside. Witnesses say they tried to escape. Cops open fire, forcing them to return. Burned alive. 11 died. 5 children. Some around the same age as I at the time. Now I'm traumatized. So much so it became a normal occurrence. Seeing my people beaten. So what detached though, until I no longer had to imagine the same happening to me. All I felt was a knee, crushing the side of my cheek to other cops, grabbing my feet and twisting. Every time I would flinch from the pain, they'd inflict more. Then yell, stop resisting.
Something about the skin, yo.
Such a beautiful struggle in every shade. Got a story that'll touch
to my kinfolk.
We know the gift and the curse, and more so when we're living our work.
Sometimes you have a few hiccups, but tonight I'm waiting for Jason to log on with me here. Tonight I want to talk to you about something a little different, and it's actually more or less the importance of our vote and why we should vote, especially in this economic climate. This climate, this political climate that we have today, even though Voting was last week. I will tell you, there were some surprises out there. There were some surprises, some good, some bad, some I was very happy to see, some I was not. You know, it's not about, for me, it's not about who you vote for. It's just as we get out and talk about this thing. We get out and do this thing. I think voting, we live in a democracy, so that means that we the people have a say-so in what goes on in our government. And I will tell you, people get to thinking, I think that, I think that when it comes down to it, that we all have an obligation to do so. I'm going to start out by telling you about a cartoon that I read about. Not something that I personally read. I never saw the cartoon, but someone read about it. And the cartoon talks about two men sitting on a park bench, right? And when you go through the first few frames of the cartoon, there's nothing there. It's just two men sitting on a bench. They change positions. And they're not saying anything to each other at all. And then you get to this one frame and one man sighs. And then the next frame, the other man says, well, if you're going to talk politics, I'm out of here. And so I thought that was funny. I thought that was very funny. Because one of the things about that, it made me think about Proverbs 29:2 when it says, when the righteous thrive, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people groan. How many of us are groaning today? For one reason or another, how many of us are groaning today? And for me, I think we have to exercise our right. We have to exercise our right to vote. Think about this. I think it's important. And again, I'm hoping Jason logs on with me, but think about it this way. Romans 13, I'm trying to think of exactly. I'm not for sure each scripture, but I know it comes out of Romans 13 where it talks about, it says, let everyone be subject to governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. How many times have you heard people say that? All of our leaders, God appointed our leaders. It's just the authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. Right. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. That is a very important scripture to me. And that's actually Romans 13, I believe it's 1 through 7, 1 through 8. But Romans 13, 1, just start there. I think it goes to 7. But that's important to me because that's one of the arguments that that I have heard from certain people. And I've heard that argument. And I never, I could never really understand that. But I do understand it now. Because again, we have a right. I mean, you hear all the time people have fought and died for the right to vote. But keep in mind, on the other side, people have fought and died to keep the right to vote from you. Right? There's been mass divisions. I mean, voting is so important. In fact, I remember an election not too long ago. I remember an election, and I was engaged, and well, actually, my engagement, we broke off our engagement right before the election, but I found out who she voted for versus who I voted for, and I said, I know this may be foul, but I said to myself, I sighed and I said, Lord, thank you. Because I'm telling y'all, when I found out her preference in voting and the reason she voted the way she voted, I'm telling y'all, if we'd have been married out, man, we'd have had to get a divorce real quick. Oh, man, that just hurt my heart. The reason and who, it just killed me. And so now I don't recommend nobody think of it so heavily as I did. I'm just saying that was me. But we have a right to vote. And people, it's true. People have fought and died for the right to vote. But I see it as a privilege. You know, voting the way we do here in America is a privilege. And as a Christian, it's an even bigger privilege simply because when you think about the scriptures, our citizenship is in heaven, right? And we eagerly await a Savior from heaven. And our Savior is who? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. And so it's important for us, you know, to really think of voting. Now, again, I'm not going to be the guy to tell you who to vote for. I mean, I could. You have to hit me up outside of here or maybe on another show we could talk about it. I can tell you who to vote for. But before we even get into a debate about who to vote for, I'm going to need you to be informed, right? I'm talking each candidate down the ballot, right? If you're in the same state or the same city I'm in, we're going to have to take it all the way down. City council, you know, we're going to be talking about community leaders. You know, we're going to go all the way down. And if it's just a national account that we're going to look at, well, then we're going to look at all the national leaders. You know, I need you to know what they stand for, what their voting record is, you know, how they live, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, let's get to the point. We're Christians, so we ought to be electing those who represent our interests. Now, you notice I didn't say we ought to only elect those who are Christians. That's going to be another bigger debate in itself. But tonight, I just want to talk, you know, just kind of speak a little bit about why we vote and why we should vote. Because, again, I believe that we have a responsibility to vote as citizens of the kingdom of God, right? You know, so we first owe it to God, then we owe it to the country where we live. You know, when you think about America, it was founded with the principle of religious freedom. See, that's important because a lot of us get that mixed up with other things such as a privileged few, white supremacy. You know, a lot of us get that mixed up. And you know, we get to talking about things like gun rights, and I mean we just convolute the conversation. And the reason why we do that is because we don't really want to have a discussion. We want to throw just a bunch of issues out there, so people are constantly grabbing, trying to answer this issue, that issue, and you never get to the core issue. Because when you look at our Bill of Rights, it says Congress shall make no law respecting, there it is, an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition government for redress of grievance. See, what this says is, in my opinion, is that the government's not going to interfere in our individual rights. We can we're free to practice our faith or our religion, right? And so that means that we can practice whatever religion that we choose or whatever faith that we choose. In other words, I can't stop you from being a Muslim. I can't stop you from being a Hindu, or I can't stop you from being a Christian. You know, the government cannot get in the way of that. Now, there are those of us who argue on different points, And again, I won't get deep into this point, but a lot of people argue the point of separation of church and state. And when I hear people make that argument, you know, I have to say, all right, it doesn't say that. But here's the problem we have in America. And again, I think we should, these are some of the reasons we should vote, but the problem we have in America is not everybody is a Christian. And I tell you, because we all have the right to vote here, but everybody's not Christian. And that has been a struggle with me since I can remember. And finally, one day I came to the realization that, you know what, you're right. Everybody is not Christian. So what does that mean? That means that not everybody has Christian values. That complicates the system that our society is governed by, right? Well, it does, but it doesn't. Because remember, the government's not going to tell the individual what he or she can or cannot do when it comes to their faith. I mean, there are certain things you can't do. Like, you can't be out here killing animals, having sacrifices of people or animals. Well, you can't do that kind of stuff. Because, again, that's against the law. So we got to abide by the law as well. But the reason I bring that point up is not to defend someone who doesn't do what I say they should do or what I think, but it is to bring up the point of why voting is important and that why we should exercise our right to vote, because it is imperative. You know, we have a right. As a matter of fact, I would go so far as to say, not only do we have a right to vote, but we have an obligation to vote. You know, I read the scripture earlier. You know, I believe that we have an obligation because, you know, this right, it's a fundamental right, but it's a right. Now, again, let's go through history. Let's talk about it if ever anybody wants to challenge me. The right to vote has been taken away. It's been suppressed. I mean, they've had poll taxes enacted on people. You know, poll taxes, they either make you pay money or they give you these ridiculous tests. Oh, guess how many marbles are in this jar? And if you can't guess the exact number, then you can't vote, or they have a written test for you, or they ask you questions that they don't even know the answer to. Like, they ask you to recite the Constitution of the United States, right? What? Recite the Bill of Rights. What? You know, and they ask you some of the most off-the-cuff, off-the-wall, ridiculous questions. Those things are known as a poll tax. And the way we got rid of those is people were exercising their right to vote. Yeah? See, now I'm not saying all that to say that as Christians that we should keep our faith out of politics or out of political life. That's not what I'm saying. No, I believe if we are Christians, that makes us even more viable to the system, right? And what that means, what I mean by that is that we have influence. We can influence the system. I hear people saying all the time that marriage is between Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve and all these other things, right? And I agree. I agree that my Christian belief says to me that a man and a woman, that's what consummates a marriage, right? Newsflash, people. A lot of people not even getting married. They look married. They act married. They live like they're married. They're not even married. Whether it's a male, female, or same-sex couple, they ain't married. They're just living together pretending. And so I think as Christians, you know, we can grab hold of that thing. Now, I'm not here to tackle the issue as if same-sex marriage is constitutional, because if you just look at the Constitution, man, I hate to tell you, we all pay taxes. That's my thought. I'm going to leave it at that. But those are things that happen. But when you look at your right to vote, you know, you voting or us voting, man, we can move forward some agendas. You know, how do I say it? I'm thinking of a way here. You know, just by us having the right to vote, we have an opportunity to change the world that we live in. And if you don't believe me, again, I just touched on the subject of same-sex marriage. If people weren't actively participating, and exercising their right to vote, it wouldn't have been enacted. There's no way we would have it right now. And a lot of us are all upset about it. I mean, we're basically in tears because they can say they're married. Well, okay. A lot of us are in tears because when they couldn't be married, we were crying saying, well, we ought to be able to marry. We ought to be able to marry the person we love. We see there are passionate arguments on both sides, but if you don't exercise your right to vote, right, you don't really have a say-so. You aren't going to be heard. Quiet as it's kept, they don't tell you that a lot of times, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, politicians don't hear you or see you because you don't vote. It's not even about making a contribution to their campaigns. They don't hear you or see you because you don't vote. You don't participate. You don't exercise your right to vote, and they won't hear you if you don't. And that's a big thing. Again, I'm not advocating that you vote one way or the other. We have a two-party system, but then again, we also have independents here. But we basically have a two-party system. I'm not saying vote one way or the other way. I'm saying search your conscience. Follow God. All right, let's do the right things here. The other thing that I was touching on, and I don't know if Jason is going to come on with us tonight. And it's funny because it's really funny because he wanted to talk about this tonight. And I was like, okay, well, we can do it. You know, this is a good thing. But, you know, having said that, you know, we still have to go on. And that's so much like our government. That's so much like our right to vote. You don't get the exact candidate you want, so you don't exercise your right to vote. No, that's not what we do. You have to match yourself up to the issues, right? We match ourselves up to the issues, and we go from there. Because I've never seen a candidate in my 52 years of living on this earth, my, 24 years or 34 years of being able to vote. That's what it is. See, my math is all off. My 34 years of being able to vote, I've yet to see a candidate that matched, that met all of my criteria. It doesn't work like that. And I think a lot of times as Christians, we forego our responsibility to vote because of that. I will tell you this, and any of you married people out there, any of you people who are dating out there, you know what I'm talking about. I want you to look over at your mate. And if your mate checks off 100% of your criteria 100% of the time, all right, I'm going to tell you that you're a novel. I don't know what to say about you, but that's what voting is like for me. These candidates aren't going to be 100%. Out for me, but I will not forego my responsibility, because when you look at the long-term effects of these elections that we hold, the long-term effects, we find that there is a responsibility that comes with your vote. That's right. You got a right to vote. I want you to exercise that right, but I want you to understand there is a certain responsibility that comes with it. And we're talking, again, I have friends that will argue with me and say, Christians should not vote. That is not for us. But I've established with you in my earlier scripture that when you go to Proverbs, when you read Romans, I think we do. We are obligated. I think we have a responsibility to vote. You go back to Romans chapter 13, and as I read verses 1 through, I'm going to say 1 through 7. You know, it could have been more than that, but 1 through 7, we find that all government is established by God. So we have the responsibility and a very good reason to vote. And I'd like to, for one, encourage Christians. Again, I say if you wanted to have a debate with me, then I need you to know who you're voting for. Yeah, I need you to know what they stand for. Because I'm telling you, if our government was a representation of God's influence in our lives, I want y'all to sit back and look. If the way we are, this country is being governed today, is a reflection of the level of commitment we have to God, right, or the level of influence God has on our lives. Look at our society. How proud would you be? I know some of y'all are going to go straight to the LGBTQ plus and a few other letters. Some of you are going to go straight there. Some of us or some of you are going to go straight to white supremacy and hate and violence and gun ownership. Some of us are going to go straight there. Tell you. Some of us are going to hit the abortion track. We're going to hit abortion, hit abortion, hit abortion, hit abortion, hit abortion. Some of y'all be mad at me when I say that there is bad and good in all of those. Everything that's wrong with our country, or let me say it like this, every policy that is wrong in our country, if you flip it over, just about every policy, there's some good to our society. And there really is. And so I think that in our responsibility for voting, that we have to submit ourselves to the governing authorities. I don't want to submit myself to somebody who's extremely dishonest. I get it. A lot of you are going to say, well, all politicians lie. Okay. As a whole, they do make promises they can't keep, and they do know that they can't keep all of these promises. So technically it is a lie. I agree with you. I agree. But it should not allow you to forego your responsibility to exercise your right to vote. I joined the military at the age of 17. I was 17 years old, and I was going off to be a soldier. I didn't know. Man, I thought I was a young adult. When I joined the military, I found out that I was just a kid, and I never felt so helpless. Because when you're a kid and you're immature, you try to put on this air, this bravado, and that bravado can get you through some sticky situations. Because you don't seem timid, you don't seem afraid, but man, you're deathly afraid, and you learn to control certain things. But I lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah, I wasn't mature enough to handle it. But what I did do is I matured as the months and years went by. I matured into the job, which made me an even better soldier. How does that equate to voting? What do you mean, Sandy? When you first start voting, you may not be sure. You start exercising this responsibility. You may not be sure of who you're voting for or why. It may cause you to question your own belief system, your ethics and your morals that you grew up with. It also, if you look at the other side, it causes you to look at other people, not in a negative way, but in a very positive light. Causes you to see other people's struggles. And I'm going to go ahead and get into it a little bit about responsibility of voting. It causes you to understand how other people have been denied the freedoms that maybe you haven't. Right? Because we understand that. Like if you think of our government, you think of our government. Our government intends to be an agent of justice, right? And when you think of an agent of justice, you think of people who rule over us should be God's servant or servant of God, right? And so in that case, if you think of it like that, it's necessary for us to submit to these authorities, right? Right? And, you know, if we don't submit to the laws that we live under, we're going to be punished by the law. It's a criminal offense. But then your conscience, or am I serving the way God would have me serve? Because think about this. There's a law that says you got to pay taxes. Yeah. You got to pay taxes. There's a saying we have here, right? The only guarantees in life are death and taxes. Those are the two things that you got to do, okay? You got to pay them taxes, and you're going to die eventually, right? So when you're born into this world, those are two facts. As you grow up, unless you're not really young, but if you grew up to become an adult, you get a job, you're going to be paying taxes. That's just how it works. And so when you think about that, when you think about that, that's a responsibility of as a citizen, right? And we have to fulfill these responsibilities. How many of us go to work and don't fulfill our responsibilities and keep that job for a long term? It just doesn't work. Our democracy doesn't work if we don't participate. If we don't fulfill our responsibilities, it doesn't work for us. Now, I can break this on down. I can get down a little bit further, and I can break it on down. It doesn't work for us as people of color. Oh, I can break it down. I can go a little further down. It doesn't work for Black Americans when we don't participate. You see, I want y'all to understand that we are only about 12% of the population. Some papers will say we're 13%. I like to go with the 12% number because that's the number that's been more prevalent. But, you know, 12, 13% of the population, it doesn't matter. I want to give you an idea of what that looks like. 12% of the population. If you line up 100 people and you knock down 12, that's what 12% looks like. Yeah. Not a formidable force. By itself, it's not a formidable force. But we still have a responsibility. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about this. I'm trying to form my thought. Y'all got to excuse me. I had that traumatic brain injury. This slows me down from time to time. But I hear about people outsmarting the system all the time. And they say, well, I'm just smart enough to get around all these taxes, this, that, and the other. But responsible Christians pay their fair share. We pay our taxes. I'm sorry. We pay our fair share. That's right. We not only pay our fair share, we participate in our system of government one way or the other. We help others. That's what we do. We that's what we're here for. You know, I've seen people go on missionary trips, go all the way to Africa, raise money, help build houses and huts and schools and adopt children and all of that, and I commend them for it. You hear me? I'm clapping. Yes, that's great. All the while, five blocks down the road, they got the exact same atrocities taking place, and they don't lift a finger or raise a voice. Why is that? Is that being a responsible citizen? Oh, I get it. I'm being a responsible Christian. Because I'm going to go over here and save these people, but I ain't going to have nothing to do with the people in my area. Now, there's a caveat to that, too. I know and I understand. A lot of people say, well, the people here, they have the benefit, they have the luxury of being able to get out of poverty. I'll tell you something. I'm talking to our Black community here, talking about our Black community, African Americans, the descendants of slaves here. When you go through 400 years of oppression, another 100 years of Jim Crow, and another 100 years of more oppression, it's kind of hard to think your way out of these situations, people. We got to stop acting like it's everybody's fault that they're in the ghetto, they're in the gutter. I get it. They can do what you did or what you do, and just maybe with the right breaks, huh, with the right people on their side, when the stars and the moon and everything lines up just right, they can do it. They can overcome it. Yeah, I'll tell you something. I'm the youngest of a total of 10 kids. Would have been 11, but I had one brother who would have been about 2 years older than me who only lived for a couple of minutes after he was born. So I would have been the youngest of 11, or technically I'm the youngest of 11 in my blended family. Out of all of us, not bragging or anything like that, out of all of us, financially, I'm the only one who made it out of what I call made it out, meaning I'm the only one who was able to move up the corporate ladder, move into some bigger, better things in life. None of my siblings, none of them who are still alive, none of them is living better than paycheck to paycheck. They have some good jobs, but they're still living paycheck to paycheck. Now, that's a mindset mostly. But what I'm saying is I got a lot of big breaks in life. My military career, oh, my gosh, if I had the time to tell you how great it was for me. But there were many, 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 many hardships. But there was a level of discipline that I developed and I had to maintain that got me over the hump. My Christian beliefs was one of them. My willingness to follow the word of God, my willingness to exert all the authority that God had for me, right? Now, ain't got nothing to do with participating in the vote. Ain't got nothing to do with taking responsibility for my vote. Oh, but it does. Because, see, if you're disciplined in one area of life, you can be disciplined in the other areas of life. And when you learn to follow God's call and you learn to do it in every aspect of your life, you will, man, I'm not going to go there. I'm just saying that we got to stop. I'm going to back up. I'm just saying that we have to stop expecting people to tighten up their belts and suck it up and drive on and tighten up your bootlaces and overcome all these problems. Sometimes it's our God-given duty to help people. And the way we help people in this country, we can reach more people in our communities if we put the right people in office. Exercise your responsibility. I know it seems like I'm just going on and on, and I'm not going to go that much longer. I'm going to tell you. I got about 22 minutes left, but I want to try to get through my few talking points because, see, excuse me, sorry. I want to get through these talking points because, you know, I can go on and on about this because this is really important for us because I'm going to tell you something. I'm going back to our government because when you read 1 Timothy 2:1-2, you know, it talks about this. It says this is what it says. Verses 1 and 2 again. 1 Timothy 2:1-2, and it says, "I urge you then, first of all, petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, not some of the people." All people, not just the people who are Christian. It says all people, not just for the heterosexual people. It says all people. You hear what I'm saying? It says all people. And verse 2 says, "For kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness." Look, all people, that includes the king. In other words, that includes the president of the United States, right? That includes the president of the PTA club, right? That includes the governors of states, all people, right? And we're praying that we, not them, not those people, not the other people, that we as a people, and when I see we, I fall back and I say, when it says we, it's talking about all of us. That we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. See, a lot of us, we miss that. A lot of us, and me included, a lot of us, we sit back and we say, well, things ain't going right. Well, God commanded Daniel to do this. God commanded David to do this. And we act like we want to go out and fight the world. What if we were more peaceful? What if we exercised, oh, man, what if we exercise our responsibility to vote and be good Christian citizens at the same time? That's right. You know, one of the things I learned about voting, and again, I've been voting now for 34 years. Whew, man, I'm getting old. Oh, Lord. Oh, well, for 34 years, and it has made me a more responsible citizen because, again, it has caused me to look at other people's lives. It has caused me to feel compassion for people. When I look at my old neighborhood where I grew up, when I grew up there, it was a lower middle class area, but man, everybody mowed their grass. We had nice houses. People didn't have a ton of money, but they had a little bit of money, right? High school, when you got to high school and got 16, got your driver's license, your parents were able to buy you a car. I lived in one of those little neighborhoods, you know, had that whole 3.1 kids per household kind of thing, you know, back in the 80s. And when all the drug wars were going on, we were incubated from that. It went on across town from us. They went on miles and miles from us. We didn't have to worry about it. You know, like if you accidentally left your back door unlocked at your house, one day you went to work and you were gone 8 to 10 hours, you come back home, your house was still there. Nobody broke in, right? I even had a neighbor one time where my parents, I don't know what happened, but my parents, it could have been one of us kids, but we left the front door wide open. The neighbor from across the street who was friendly with us, but we weren't a tight-knit friendship, said that he came. He said, I noticed your front door was open and no cars were outside. I came over and closed your front door and locked it. Yeah, he didn't go in. He just locked the front door and closed it for us. You know, that's what we're to do as Christians. And so I want to say, don't underestimate the power of prayer for our nation. Don't underestimate the power of prayer, because prayer changes things. And again, we're talking responsibility right now. And so it's our Christian responsibility to pray. The Bible says that man ought to always pray, right? Right? Yeah. That's what we have to do. You know, and you know, when it comes to Christianity today, I will, and again, if I'm wrong, shoot me a text or email or something. But I don't believe we should try to force everybody to pray. I don't believe that. Not one bit. I can no more make you pray an earnest prayer than I can make you successful in life. I don't have that power. And so that is something that that is really important. The next thing I want to hit you with is Jason, are you on? Hey Kim, can you make sure Jason is unmuted? J Doug, can you hear me? Okay, just when you get unmuted, man, just let me know. But this is just the way it is for us, okay? Because I go back, I look at the early church, you know. The church hasn't always been perfect. It's evolved over years and years. I'm going to say centuries, we say God is the same today, tomorrow, and forever, and God never changes, but the way we do things in America, the way we do things in this world has changed over time. The way we do things has definitely changed over time, and we need to be careful. Be really, really careful. Because if you think about this, the early church, you know, Christians actually for a while, a lot of Christians or a lot of people who claim to be Christians, I'm going to say it like that, they were okay with slavery. They were okay with discriminating against the Chinese. Yes, they were. Okay with discriminating against the Irish. Yep, the Europeans, period. Yep, changes things. But more importantly, in government, prayer changes policy. Yes, indeed, weedy, it changes. Because if we're praying for God to raise up a group of righteous and wise leaders, it may not happen in our lifetime, but it might. But it's going to happen if we keep praying that prayer. I think we need to be praying that God give us the wisdom to cast our votes for the right people. And not just the right people just because they're the right people, but for the right reason. In other words, don't just cast a vote for Cedric because you know me, because you understand my heart when I'm at church. You understand how I act. What about my power? What about my power?
Hey.
Hey, J-Dub, what's going on, man?
Hey, man, I'm sorry about that. How we doing today?
Doing all right, man. Doing all right. I was just talking here. I got a little bit off my chest.
Oh no, I was listening. I've been here for a bit, like listening to you expound on the importance of voting and our Christian, how as Christian, how we should approach voting. So, yeah. So, you know, I don't agree with you, right?
Okay, that's all right. That's what we want to have to talk about. I mean, ain't nothing wrong with it. There is nothing wrong with disagreement. A little bit of disagreement. What don't you agree with?
I understand that voting is important, and you look at this from a civil perspective and a historical perspective, especially in a black community. How something it was we were restricted. We were prohibited. I mean, to the point where we were threatened, lives were taken and given for this right. And from that perspective, I do see the importance. Now, from a Christian perspective, you know, part of me always falls back on, we ask the question, what type of system would God want in place? And if you look at it from the beginning, God always wanted us, to be governed by Him in all that He do, in all that we do, not by other men or other parties, but by Him, Him through our hearts and through our actions. And when I look at politics today, you don't see, I just don't see God in any on either side of it. It's about so many things other than, hey, I just love my fellow man, and I want to see the love of God, bestowed in his life and all the good things God has for him, right? So for me, I think that political system that we have is something that's truly of this world. And yes, we are in the world, but we don't have to participate in all things of the world. That's just kind of
okay. So do you not agree with Romans 13, 1 through 7? It says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. You don't. And then it says, hold on, let me finish. It says, consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. That is out of Romans 13, 1 through 7.
Right.
I'm just asking.
Because
it came out of the Bible.
We always talk about
the butt, huh?
Yeah. We always talk about being a good citizen and obeying the laws of the land. But even then, there's always a caveat. The laws of the land don't usurp the laws of God. And when you talk about scripture for me, yeah.
Uh-huh. No, keep going.
That scripture for me tells me that as a citizen and ambassador of God, I'm going to follow the laws, understanding that those laws are worldly laws, but they're spiritual laws that may usurp them. Now, government and participation in voting, it's a right that we have a choice to, but it's not a law that we have to do. And to me, I think that's the fundamental difference. The right to vote is just that. It's a right.
So you've been given the right to vote. You don't feel any responsibility to exercise that right?
No. My responsibility is to further the kingdom of God through the means in which he gave me, which if you look at the life of Christ,
and you don't think having the ability to vote is one of those?
I think the intimate relationships walking with somebody transcends that.
But why can't you have both? Why can't you do both?
Because for me, it's not what you do, it's why you do it, right? Am I voting because I don't trust God to make the world to be the world that he wants it to be? Or am I voting because this is what God has put on my heart? Right? And I think if you think about it, right, we like to control our own circumstance and situation. Right? We want things to happen. And when we really talk about truly submission to the will of God, it's whatever you have for me. And part of me feels like if we look deep down inside, when we cast that vote, it's our way of taking it's taking authority over our circumstances and situation.
I think God requires us to do some of those things, brother. I think God requires us to do some of those things. How can you exercise your commitment to God without making some moral sacrifices and exercising some of your? You explain to me how you can do that. That's a new one on Cedric. I'm gonna be honest.
So what I'm saying is, once again, I believe motives are more important than what you actually do. Do I vote because God has put this on my heart to do, and because this is what I'm called to do? And I would tell anybody, if God has put it on your heart to do it, don't you go through it and you do what God has instructed you to do? Or do I vote because I don't like my circumstance and situation, right? I may have prayed about this circumstance and situation for change, but you know what? Maybe I'll just vote on it to get it to change and not trust God to make it happen.
How do you know God's not using your vote to make it happen? I'm not trying to be funny, but I urge you to go talk to the families of Mega Evers. Go talk to the families of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. All right, go talk to some of the descendants of the people in North Carolina, because most people know about Rosewood, most people know about what happened in Oklahoma, but we never talk about what happened in North Carolina, because they did the exact same thing. And one night, I'll remember the city name in a minute. The people, the white population decided, you know what, these black people own all this land, they got successful business, and one night they went in and they pillaged this city, and overnight this city went from 90% black to 100% white. And what I'm saying is, the point I'm trying to make is, without a civil rights movement, without a change, without people voting, that sort of thing would still be going on. Now, it's not just black and white, though. It's not just about black people and white people. I don't want to make it about that, but that's the easiest way for me to make my point. That, for me,
right.
That's the easiest way
to
make that point.
And I understand what you're saying. Like, the atrocity of our circumstances change through the exercise of our voting, right? And I don't think
Absolutely.
Anybody would debate that. But at the same time, the atrocities or circumstances can also be changed by other means, right? Look at the children.
How? What other means?
And look at the children in Egypt, right? They were oppressed, they were enslaved, and they didn't vote to get themselves out of it. God delivered somebody, you know, heard their screams, heard their pain, heard their cries, delivered to them a man of God in Moses, who went to the Pharaoh on their behalf. They didn't elect them. They didn't choose him. God chose them. And they and
okay.
through that promotion, he was able to do things. One man freed
a
whole entire race.
So wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute, brother. Hold on, brother. So you're saying you're not going to vote until God send a Moses, and you're going to blindly follow Moses? For real, Jason?
Okay, first of all.
What if I told you I was God's Moses? What if I told you I was appointed by God, and I was that Moses that you're looking for, so you're going to blindly follow me?
I mean, like, people can say whatever they want. No. What I said is when we have a relationship with God and he puts things on our heart and he hears our cries and we know that this is the person that this is God's answer to our cries, yeah, I will blindly follow somebody that God has told me this is who I sent for you, right? Now, that does not mean that I'm blindly following anybody who just said, hey, God sent me, you know. That doesn't mean that I'm blindly following somebody who says, like, hey, I've got all your biblical principles in mind, and the things that I'm fighting for in this government are the things that, you know, are in line with your biblical principles. That doesn't mean that I will follow you because of that.
So I'm just trying to get where you at. So, but I'm still perplexed. I'm still stuck on the point you said that if God sent a Moses, then because wouldn't you agree that God, by him sending Moses to talk to Pharaoh, that at that point Moses was participating in their government? Wouldn't you say
what?
That when he sent Daniel, when he sent Daniel, that Daniel was participating in that government? Wouldn't you say that oh my gosh, I can't even think of the name. Man, you gotta excuse me. What's his name? His brothers threw him in the hole, threw him in the ditch and sold him off into slavery. Joseph, wouldn't you say that Joseph was put in government by God? You see, they didn't have elections back then, so it's a false comparison. They did not have elections back then. You were either born in it, or you were basically conquered, and you became a ruler. So that's a false comparison. But
well, hold
the
on.
Point I want to
well,
make is, wouldn't you agree uh-huh. that God put those men in the government? He made a way
okay,
for them to be in that government and exercise their rights?
Okay, so
go ahead.
You kind of just proved my point. God elected them, not man.
But hear me. How do you know God didn't choose me to run for the office of president? Because if you go back and read about the lives of these men, nobody would have ever thought that they would be where they were.
Right.
I mean, and look at Joseph. Come on, man. He was sold into
right,
slavery.
Right, and through it all, right, through all his trials and tribulation, because God picked him, nothing could stop him from fulfilling what God had designed and desired for him. So, hear what you're saying, but I feel like you're proving my point that God chose these men.
Well,
we did not choose these men. The people didn't choose. Joseph.
But wait a minute. Okay. Then let's go and talk about what's her name? Come on, I know you know her name. What's her name? Man, come on. Somebody help me. What is her name?
Not
man?
Ruth.
Not Ruth, but start with an E. How can
Esther.
I not remember her name? Esther. Let's go talk about Esther.
Yeah.
She was chosen by a man. She was chosen by a man, remember?
Okay.
They needed her. The people needed her. Her people needed her. Uh-huh. That was people that chose her.
Was Esther the one
oh, wow.
that had Uncle Mordecai?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
No. Okay.
No what?
Let me check. Remember this scripture correctly. She was able to marry the Pharaoh, and in that position, she leveraged that position that God put her in to help God's people.
Ah, but she didn't want to. They had to talk her in it. They basically had to guilt her into it. Her uncle and the people who followed her uncle.
Right.
All I'm
but,
saying
but
is,
understand
you don't know
what she did. She didn't do because she did. If I remember what Mordecai said correctly, he basically told her the glory of God is going to happen. The question is, do you want to participate in it? And when she heard that is when she changed her mind and said, okay, I'm in this position because God placed me there, and I do want to participate in the glory of God, so therefore I would do these things
okay.
that are being asked of me.
Okay, don't.
Or,
but the point I'm trying to make is, she was under the covering of God, no doubt we all are, but there was
right.
somebody else who had to point that out for her and who pushed her to do it. She was chosen by a man. That's the point I'm trying to make.
When you say chosen by a man, you're talking about the Pharaoh who chose her to be his wife, right?
Well, she was chosen by him too. I'm talking about she was chosen by Mordecai because she had a way in. She was already inserted, but she needs to exercise her authority. Don't you understand? When she walked in there, I'm just going to make it plain in simple terms. When she walked in there and she wanted to talk to Pharaoh, that was against the law. That was a crime that was punishable by death. She put her life on the line.
Oh, my God, man. Don't get me started because we're going to start talking about voting now. She put her life on the line to do that for her people. Again, that's just my only point. And maybe it's a false comparison as well, but not to me, but it might be. But I think what you're saying, and we're all individuals and we can choose to do what we want to do, but our system of government here in the United States of America requires us, if we want equality in this world, if we want a say-so, if we want a voice in our form of government, what other way will you have it? You're just going to sit back on the sidelines and wait for God to change the hearts of the wicked? I'm just asking. Or you're just going to sit back and pray? Because, see, I can respect that. It takes all people. It takes all kinds. But voting is not just. First off, let me ask this question. When you think about voting, when you think about change that comes from voting, area of your life are you thinking about? Are you thinking about the whole United States? Are you thinking about your state government? Are you thinking about the city? Are you thinking about your community? What are you thinking about when it comes to your vote? What area?
So for me, I feel like your vote affects your civil, right? The law of the land in which you resolve. The civil part.
Wait a minute.
Right?
I didn't hear what you said. It's like you didn't say a clear word. Say it again a little slower.
I'm sorry. Civil, right?
Civil.
Like,
okay.
Yeah. Civil, yeah.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, it affects the laws that you live under. It affects the circumstance in which where you live is being affected, right? The people in power are deciding, okay, I'm going to give money to this, take money away from that. I'm going to say this is right. I'm going to say this is not right. I'm going to mandate certain things from you, and, you know. So it's all, for me, it's about everything where the circumstance in which I reside and live in. So my vote has a direct impact on my circumstances.
Okay, but you answered my question. My question is, like, are you talking about your vote only impacting the national government, your state government, your city, or your community? What are you referring to when you talk about that?
Well, I mean, of course, like your federal vote is your federal community, and all the way down is where you, because we vote on different levels, right? We don't just vote for a federal level or just a state level, you know. Our vote, it impacts, like I said, our circumstance on every level. You know, just depends on what we're voting for.
Okay, so you're going to be praying that God sends somebody on the federal level to change the federal stuff. You're going to pray that God sends somebody on the state level to change the state stuff. And you're going to pray that God sends somebody on the city level to change the city stuff. And then you're going to pray that God sends somebody to your community to change what's going on in your community. That's what you're telling me, right? Right? Wrong?
Well, no, I'm going to pray for God's will to be done, and I'm going to take my part of it.
But we all pray for God's will to be done.
Right. But when you talk about change, the question is, who is asking for this change, right? If God wants change to happen and occur in this world, then the question is, how do I participate in that, and what place does he has for me, right? Because not all change that we want as man is the change that God wants for us.
I can agree with that. I can agree with that. But, okay.
So let's talk about my community, right? Let's talk about my community, right? I see these young men, right? I see these young men who are, you know, not doing the right things, don't have a dad around, disrespecting women, disrespecting themselves, can't keep themselves out of school. I don't just sit back and pray, hey, God, I need you to do something for these kids. I listen to God, and God puts on my heart, hey, I need you to do something, homeboy, and I move, right? Right? I move because, you know, when I see these problems, you know, God will put on my heart. It's like, hey, you know what? This is part of my will for you in my life. This is my will in your life to do something. Okay.
Now, are you sure that God is putting that on your heart at that moment, or has God already given that to you and you're just exercising?
And, you know, I think
God
a lot of times
told you
start,
a long time ago.
I honestly and truthfully, if we're being truthful, God has already put everything he does. It just sometimes takes a little while to discover it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. The reason I raised that point is because the way you're talking is like every situation, God will put it on your heart to move, to do something. And I'm saying to you, that's the same thing about voting. But what the point that you brought up is a very good point, but has absolutely nothing to do with voting. The only thing that has to do with voting is that you can pass laws and or rules and regulations to say that these boys can't be walking around with their pants hanging down being vagrants. But even with that, let's say that you have a community leader in your area who enforces that, who says, okay, we're going to pass this referendum. We can have no teenage boys walking around with their pants hanging down, just kind of loitering, just kind of hanging around. And all of a sudden, all these young boys start getting picked up by the police. And fined and put in jail or detention, juvenile detention for loitering. How do you change that? Since you don't vote, people voted in your community for this to happen. How do you change that? You just walk up and say, God, put it on my heart. I'm going to spend all my hard-earned money, or I'm going to become a foster parent to 72 of these boys so I can keep them from going to jail. How are you going to change that? I'm using your example.
Change needs to occur. That's what I'm saying. Does change need to occur?
You just said it.
Well, no, hold on, though. The change that occurs is what God has put on my heart. Because the story you just kind of demonstrated, I think about the life of Daniel and the three Hebrew boys and how they made a law that was oppressive, and God didn't change the law, right? God just said, "Hey, you don't do that." Right.
Okay.
But what happened was,
I'm gonna let you finish. Take 30 seconds. Finish that up. We got started on our convo a little later, but we'll finish it up next week. So I'm gonna go ahead and give you 30 seconds.
Yes, sir.
Finish it up.
All I would say is God didn't change the laws when laws are oppressive and they are unfair. God moves in the people that need to change the laws to change it. It wasn't the vote that made the laws change.
Well, people, you heard it. He said your vote don't really matter. You don't vote. But we're going to pick this up
your
next
vote
week.
Didn't. You know what?
Yeah, you did.
We're going to pick this up
next
week.
It's okay. We're going to pick this back up next week. And I apologize, Jason, that I did not know you were hanging on the line. I did not know. I didn't see your text until about 15 minutes after you sent it. But I'm going to say this. I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you. I appreciate your commentary. But, hey, y'all, we got to get out of here. This is Kim, if you will, cue the music. You know what we say about this time? Find something you love, chase it, embrace it, and that is your relentless pursuit. This is Minister Cedric and Jason. And thank y'all. God bless you. Have a good weekend. Jason, we're going to pick this up next week, man, okay? Really interesting,
yes, sir, man.
Hearing what you got to say. All right, love you, bro.
All right, bro.
And I'll talk to you on next Friday. Bye.
Yes, sir.
Bye.
Shout out D on the track. Paint Music Media. Shout out DJ Lee Productions. And I'm Al Cam. But if you a game changer, got my hand. My grind on high. Win, lose, and drop. I'ma ride till I die. I go hard in that lane. My God is the aim. Put me in, coach. And watch me change the game. Cause I'm a game changer. 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 I'm full court press. I pledge allegiance to the best. Ain't nothing left to give it that reverence that the Father gets. So every day I work the sweat. Can get the flesh another rest. They say go hard or go home. I say just do whatever's best. It's evident I'm blessed and I work like it. Fight like a Viking. Fight like a Lycan.
lacking. The difference is I like it, so I shine like I'm lightning. So I'm going head to head with certain death. Who you liking? Yeah. So it's time for coach to put me in. I'm strapping on my shoulder pads, lacing up my cleats, and then I'm gone with the wind. Like I'm gone in 60 seconds. You can't hold me, you can't check me. Check the memo, check the message running through. Like I'm baddest, I'm trucking whoever's standing in my way. Ain't no way you gon' stop me. You better off to let me in. Cause I go hard, even though they say no way that I could win. Like I'm Brett Favre, I'ma ride this game. My head to the sky, my grind don't hide. Win, lose, or drought, I'ma ride till I die. I go hard in that lane. My God is the aim. Put me in, coach, and watch me change the game. Cause I'm a game changer, 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 I'm a game changer. Once before, my God came to change the game. Different outlook onto life, a different way to play the lane. Now my rushing yards just got rocketing, now I'm so insane. For the kingdom building, now my shot, it cannot be contained. So I'm gon' pray for change, for myself and then what I can. I don't need no euros or no pesos or no money grams. Shout out to Wado, cause I know that he gon' play this fam. The FCA sports camp, game changer, summer jam. I don't need 100 grand to tell him that they need the lamb. Just who I am, Al Kim, this where I stand. Man, I'm gon' play the fist, hit too deep and turn it quick. It's like I'm out from the trap to turn around, get back in it. Never that's not insane. It's having that your book they change. Like I'm Jack Johnson, the same year he changed his name. So I sacrifice my life for the cause, just to win. And if you a game changer, let me see you my represent. My grind don't hide. Win, lose, or drought, I'ma ride till I die. I'm a game changer, 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 I'm a game changer. Now put me in, coach, 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 I'ma go hard,
I'ma go hard, I'ma go hard.
Cause I'm a game changer, I'm a game changer, I'm a game changer.